Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson, and produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is edition NWS 816 for release on Sunday, October 13th, 2024. On the program today, the story of KBIG in Los Angeles, the HFCC B24 conference in Uzbekistan, our Philippine DX report, and some very good news about Voice of Hope Africa. Today, Ray Robinson in Los Angeles brings us some interesting historical notes regarding the offshore beginnings and nautical connections of one of Southern California's best-known stations, KBIG, or KBIG. As an AM station in the early 1950s, it created a distinctive presence by broadcasting from a popular passenger ferry, the SS Catalina, while plying the waves of the Pacific to and from an island of the same name. Here's Ray to tell us more.
Thanks, Jeff. I've lived in the Los Angeles area for 40 years now, and throughout that time, KBIG has been a fixture on the FM dial at 104.3 MHz. The station's been through many ownership and format changes during its lifetime, but what many people don't realise is that it started out not on the FM band, but as an AM station, and not actually on the California mainland at all. So let's go back to the beginning, and I have to thank Dr. Martin van der Ven in Germany, an occasional contributor to this programme, for some of this material today. KBIG was founded by John H. Poole in 1952 and began broadcasting in the June of that year from Catalina Island, some 23 miles off the coast of California and 26 miles from the Port of Los Angeles to its north. The island itself is 22 miles long and 8 miles wide, covering an area of some 75 square miles. It's administered as part of Los Angeles County. The principal town on the island is Avalon. Known as the Catalina Station, Poole knew KBIG would have wide coverage of Southern California by broadcasting the station's directional 10,000-watt signal across ocean water. And indeed, KBIG was heard from Santa Barbara in the north to south of the Mexico border, a 200-mile stretch of the California coastline, including the large audience in Los Angeles. In 1958, the station adopted the theme tune 26 Miles Across the Sea by the Four Preps.
26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance, 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 romance. Water all around it, everywhere. Tropical trees and the salty air. But for me, the thing that's awaiting there, romance.
The station became popular as it presented an island theme and scheduled music, news and commercials differently than its competitors. Poole claimed people knew that if they changed stations during a commercial, they'd always find something interesting on KBIG, which mostly played a mix of popular music genres including big band, jazz and contemporary hits. But they also provided news updates and a few talk shows, including the notable Catalina Conversations, which featured interviews with local celebrities, island residents and visitors. The station was a daytimer to protect KCBS 740 in San Francisco and operated only from local dawn to dusk. The KBIG call letters were selected in honour of the station's chief announcer, Carl Mr. Big Bailey, who hosted the station's morning shows from sign-on until noon in its early days. He got the moniker Mr. Big due to his 6-foot-10-inch frame, which was truly exceptional in the 1950s. The station's studios and transmitter were located on Catalina Island, while the business office was situated at 6540 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, where Poole also built additional studios for production and auxiliary purposes. Carl Bailey, Mr. Big, was a prominent figure in the radio industry, and he wanted more than anything to help John Paul create a station that would stand out in the crowded Southern California market. And so in the mid and late 1950s, he often broadcast live on weekends from a passenger ferry, the SS Catalina, which had been carrying as many as 3,800 passengers a day on the 2.5-hour voyage between the Port of Los Angeles and Avalon since 1924. Many K-Big listeners travelled alongside regular passengers on the journey to Avalon, and Carl would interview some of them during the voyage and when disembarking from the ship. The passengers knew that their families were often eagerly waiting to hear if they'd completed the voyage safely. Through K-Big AM 740, they were sometimes able to hear their loved ones' voices. The station also hosted occasional live performances by various artists aboard the SS Catalina, creating a unique and intimate concert experience that was broadcast to listeners. The offshore broadcasts were a strategic move to capture the listener's imagination and leverage the established reputation and iconic status of the ferry. Of course, the station didn't actually transmit from the SS Catalina other than their studio to transmitter link, but merely used it as the base for some very unusual and, I dare say, romantic live outside broadcasts. In November 1957, while aboard the seagoing SS Catalina, Carl Bailey got in touch with the pilot of a plane circling above. The aircraft from the Los Alamitos Naval Air Station was tracking the ship for radar spotting practice, and the DJ described it to listeners of his regular seagoing program. Coincidentally, the airmen were using K-Big as a navigational fix, and when Carl called to the plane to dip a wing if they were tuned in, the pilot complied. And when he returned to Los Alamitos, the pilot wrote a letter thanking the disc jockey for the Navy plug and invited Carl to visit the Naval Air Station. This he subsequently did, and provided listeners with a full report of the conducted tour he received. A year later, in November 1958, K-Big launched a new promotion to draw attention to its 740 kHz position on the dial. The 740th passenger boarding the SS Catalina each day at Los Angeles Harbor for the cruise to Avalon was awarded prizes, including lunch, dancing, and sightseeing for two to make the island visit more enjoyable. Carl Bailey interviewed the lucky winners each day by ship-to-shore radiophone from Avalon on weekdays and in person on his Catalina cruise broadcast from the ship on Saturdays and Sundays. A memorial on Wrigley Plaza along the waterfront in Avalon on Catalina Island honours Carl Mr. Big Bailey, who passed away in 1984, saying he's considered to be the first seagoing disc jockey in the world. On February the 15th, 1959, Paul launched KBIQ at 104.3 on the FM band in Los Angeles, simulcasting its AM sister station, K-Big. In 1963, the call was changed to K-Big FM, and the station added a staff of K-Big singers who would sing the station's jingles and also record station albums to offer to listeners. Later in the 1960s, to improve efficiency, the island location was reduced to just a transmitter facility, with the chief engineer residing on site, while K-Big's AM programming originated from Hollywood and was sent to the Catalina transmitter via a microwave link. In 1968, K-Big AM and FM were bought by Bonneville International for $2 million. The new owners continued with a beautiful music, easy listening format, playing mainly instrumentals. It sounded like this on October the 13th, 1979.
Everyone's favorite, KBIG, KBIG, Los Angeles.
At a 1:30, the Southland weather includes the chance of some light showers through tonight, and temperatures rather cool this afternoon, the expected high to only get into the lower 70s. Tomorrow, however, will be a few degrees warmer, and we can look for mostly clear skies. Right now, we have 75 degrees in Orange County. That's the warm spot. It's only 67 degrees at the Los Angeles Civic Center. You're tuned to KBIG. the Southland's most powerful FM station for relaxing music anytime and any place.
The following year, in 1980, Bonneville sold the AM station on 740 kHz to Crawford Broadcasting, which has operated a daytime-only Christian talk format on that frequency ever since as KBRT, or K-Bright, with the 10 kilowatt transmitter remaining on Catalina Island to this day. By the early 1990s, the FM station was playing today's hits and yesterday's favourites.
Mark Taylor with you on a Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're along. We have 10 in a row for you, an upbeat variety of today's hits and yesterday's favorites. Everything But the Girl and Missing up next.
KBIT Los Angeles, KB104.
I step off the train. And today the FM station is owned by iHeartMedia and transmits with 65,000 watts. It plays contemporary adult hits from the 90s to now, branded as 104.3 MyFM, and identifies simply as KBIG, having dropped the FM suffix in 2013. Back to you in Okeechobee, Jeff.
Thanks, Ray. Next week, Ray will be continuing the nautical theme with the little-known story of the German offshore radio station that broadcast against Adolf Hitler in the late 1930s. You're listening to Wavescan from Adventist World Radio. Today we begin our multi-part coverage of the B-24 High Frequency Coordination Conference, or HFCC, which took place in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, during the last week of August. We were there, covering the event for Wavescan. Landing at Tashkent International Airport was just as described. We had to go through Uzbekistan customs, which was a breeze. They didn't ask us a single question. Then we picked up our luggage from the Turkish Airlines flight that took us there and walked outside the small terminal building where dozens of people, mostly taxi drivers, were waiting for incoming passengers. We were warned about the hordes of taxi drivers often scamming incoming passengers, so we took the advice of Red Telecom and ordered a greet and pickup service from the Radisson Blue Hotel. Our driver was waiting for us with a sign with our name on it, and he took us to his car and directly to the hotel. It cost $35, but it was worth it. We were in Tashkent for the B-24 High Frequency Coordination Conference, the first ever HFCC conference in Central Asia. 50-some delegates from shortwave broadcasters and government telecommunications authorities from around the world made their way to Tashkent for the week-long meeting. During the 20-minute drive from the airport to the Radisson Blue, we got our first glimpse of this jewel of Central Asia. Tashkent, with a population of over 2 million, is a large, modern metropolis with wide highways and boulevards and huge parks with trees and greenery. We saw no trash, litter, or graffiti. The city was spotless. Streetlights were the standard green, yellow, and red, but each with a separate unit showing in large LED numbers how many seconds remained before changing colors. Many advertising signs were giant, bright neon billboards. The streets seemed to be safe day and night. The only drawback to being a Western tourist in Uzbekistan is the language barrier. Few people speak English. The local language is Uzbek, a Turkic language, very difficult to understand. And everyone also speaks Russian, a heritage of the Soviet occupation of the country from 1924 till 1991. In fact, we were there over Uzbek Independence Day on September 1st, marking 33 years since the country stopped being a Soviet Socialist Republic. Today, it's a fledgling democracy with a large degree of freedom of speech and a strong private enterprise economy. Uzbeks seem to be happy to be free from Soviet Russian rule, but they're also thankful that the Soviets developed Uzbekistan into a modern country with an impressive infrastructure of highways, buildings, bridges, etc. Unfortunately, a strong earthquake destroyed much of the city in 1966, so not many old historic buildings remain. Modern skyscrapers are all over Tashkent. Construction is booming. The national language is Uzbek, and almost everyone speaks Russian as well. That makes it a bit difficult for tourists who don't speak Uzbek or Russian. But many young people are learning English these days, and shopkeepers and taxi drivers often speak a few words of English. we had a taxi driver who didn't speak English, who took us to a music store on Independence Day, only to find that it wasn't open. He showed me his phone with Google Translate from Russian to English, reading, "Everything is closed today." At our hotel, most people spoke at least some English, and some young folks spoke it very well. Tashkent is full of restaurants of every type and nationality, even some fast food restaurants. The only thing you can't find is pork, being a largely Muslim nation. But it's an interesting Muslim nation because even many Muslims drink beer, wine, and liquor. And some told us that they don't necessarily pray five times per day, although they still recognize the importance of prayer in general. We didn't hear the call to prayer on loudspeakers like in most Muslim countries. There were many mosques, and some of them were extremely grandiose and beautiful. But Uzbekistan allows freedom of religion, and there are Christian churches and even Jewish synagogues. Of course, there are Russian Orthodox churches, as there are still a lot of Russians and people of Russian descent living there. But let's talk about why we were there, the HSCC conference. It was organized by Red Telecom, a Canadian-based company that leases and brokers the government's shortwave radio facility on the outskirts of Tashkent. This is the old station of Radio Tashkent's external service, and it served as a major jamming facility for the Soviets. Now, Red Telecom sells airtime on the station's 1950s-era transmitters to a variety of international clients, including many religious organizations such as Adventist World Radio. The Soviet-made transmitters still work pretty well. There are eight of them at 250 kilowatts each, plus a 12-year-old Thompson transmitter at 100 kilowatts. But get this, they have a staggering 50 antennas at the Tashkent site, so they can reach many parts of the world quite well. Some conference delegates got to visit the transmitter site on the outskirts of Tashkent. We didn't go, but we did see some of the large antennas as we passed the site on the train from Tashkent to Samarkand. But more about that trip later. Along with Red Telecom, the Uzbek Ministry of Digital Technologies and the government's broadcasting authority co-sponsored the HSCC conference. Representatives from these organizations opened the meeting on Monday, August 26th, followed by speeches from the HSCC chairman, yours truly, and the representative from the Arab States Broadcasting Union, Mohsen Ghomam. The Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union was also represented. You were just listening there to the opening plenary session of the HSCC B24 conference in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Next week, we'll continue with our report from Tashkent. Now it's over to the Philippines. Here's Henry Umatai.
Hello, everyone, to dear shortwave listeners, wherever you are. Welcome to the October 13th edition of the Philippine DX. This is report number 211. I'm Henry Umatai in Bacolod City, Negros Occidental, Central Philippines. Glad to be back and thank you for listening. I would like to thank our DXer friends for sending the reception report most recently. Mr. Richard Lemke in Alberta, Canada. Mr. Liam Spencer in Berthold, Colorado in the USA. Mr. Eugene Cornican in Moscow, Russia. And Mr. Chan Zachary Alvarez in Cavite here in the Philippines. To all of you, thank you very much. Reception lags for September 2024. September 1, Voice of Korea on 7220 in English from Kujang at 0405 SIO 333. September 1, BBC World Service on 9410 in English from Tinang at 1015 SIO 333. September 1, Radio New Zealand International on 9700 in English from Rangitaki at 0850 SIO 444. September 8, Hope Radio on 9965 in English from Palau Midoron at 1015 SIO 444. September 8, Transworld Radio KTWR on 11965 in English from Mariso Guam at 1108 SIO 333. September 15, Voice of Vietnam on 12020 in English from Hanoi Suntay at 1140 SIO 343. September 15, FEBC Radio on 9400 in Chinese from Eva Sambales at 1145 SIO 434. September 17, Radio Taiwan International on 9595 in Chinese from Pao Chong at 1050 SIO 333. September 29, Hope Ratio on 15680 English, Ramidorn, Palau at 0224, SIO 444. September 29, Transworld Radio, KTWR on 9910 in English, Primary Guam at 1132, SIO 333. September 29, Radio Pilipinas on 12010 in English, from Tinang at 0218, SIO 434. And September 29, China Radio International on 11955 in Filipino, from Nanning at 1144, SIO 444. Send us your comments, suggestions, reception logs, and informations to PilipinasDX@gmail.com. That's PILIPINASDX for PilipinasDX@gmail.com. This has been Henry Umaday for Wavescan in Bacolod City, Negros Occidental Central, Philippines. Ay mabuhay at maraming salamat po.
Thank you, Henry. 2 weeks ago, we had a report from Jose Jacob about Port Blair, the capital of Andaman and Nicobar Islands, being renamed to Srivijayapuram last month. The Akashvani station there operates on medium wave 684 at FM 100.9 megahertz, and it used to operate on shortwave as well. Joe says that the station ID has now changed from Akashvani Port Blair to the capital's new name.
Vande Mataram.
मीडियम वेव 438.6 मीटर अर्थात 684 किलोहर्ट्ज और एफएम 100.9 मेगाहर्ट्ज पर ये आकाशवाणी का श्री विजयपुरम केंद्र है। आज मंगलवार है, शक संवत 1946 के आश्विन माह की नवी तिथि यानी पहली अक्टूबर सन 2024।
Before we go today, we have an update on the Voice of Hope Africa schedule for you. That's the station in Zambia which broadcasts this program. Here again is Ray Robinson.
Hi, Jeff. Just a quick program note about a schedule update at Voice of Hope Africa. The electricity situation in Zambia is still dire due to very low water levels at the Kariba Dam on the Zambezi River, and most areas now only have electricity for 3 hours a day, like 4 to 7 in the afternoon or 10 to 1 in the late evening. The rest of the day, they're completely without power. But at our transmitter site, we're fortunate to be close to an important copper mine. Zambia needs the foreign currency from the export of copper, so there's been a directive to keep the power on 24/7 for the mine. And since our transmitter site is on the same three-phase distribution line as the mine, we now benefit from that also. When people don't have electricity, obviously they can't watch TV, and often the internet's down too because of failures in their ISP's infrastructure, so their mobile devices don't work even if the batteries are charged. So where do people turn for news and entertainment? Aha, the radio. So starting tomorrow, Monday the 14th of October, Voice of Hope Africa is restoring its morning broadcasts on a full-time basis with live presentation from 7 to 10 a.m. Central African Time, as well as keeping the existing afternoon and evening programming, including World News Roundup. So the new schedule will now be 0400 to 0800 UTC on 9680 kHz, 1400 to 1600 UTC also on 9680 kHz, and 1600 to 2000 UTC on 4965 kHz. And that's a 1 hour earlier close down than at present. All broadcasts are in English 7 days a week with 100 kilowatts of power into an omnidirectional antenna for East, Central and Southern Africa. Why don't we broadcast for longer, I hear you say? Well, we do have electricity, but the electricity isn't free. Most of our funding comes from programmers who pay for their airtime, and to increase broadcast hours, we'd need more programmers, and they only buy airtime if they know people are listening. So your feedback to this and other shortwave stations is really important if you want us to stay on the air. Because of the schedule changes I just mentioned, WaveScan is now heard on Voice of Hope Africa twice on Sundays at both 0700 UTC on 9680 and at 1800 UTC on 4965. Full details of the new schedule, as well as a 24-hour stereo web stream, are available at www.voiceofhope.com.
Thank you, Ray, and let's hope that copper mine keeps in operation. Ray says, we now have a baker from Lusaka who travels out to our transmitter site each morning to make bread and then take it back into the city to sell from his shop. We're the only place that has electricity. We end WaveScan today with folk music from Uzbekistan. Thanks for listening to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week, the offshore radio station that broadcast against Adolf Hitler. More from the HFCC B24 conference in Uzbekistan and our DX report. WaveScan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.